Well, good morning to everybody. In the name of our Lord Jesus, happy Mother's Day to our mothers among us. Brother Olin, did you finish, did you get to the end of chapter 20?
I did.
Okay. All right, I think we'll do part of chapter 21 today in Matthew. Pretty big, long chapter, so I think we might see if we get to verse 27. Verse 1 of Matthew 21. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me." Jesus said, here's a donkey. There's going to be a donkey. Go untie this donkey and bring both of them, its colt too, to me. Telling his disciples to do that. You remember what they were preparing for at this time?
For Jesus to go preach there.
Yes, that's right. Especially to ride a donkey into the city. They didn't know what Jesus was planning to do. But do you remember what day we call that? The day that the children cried Hosanna. What day do we call that? That Sunday? And maybe we should get one of the big boys to help us. What Sunday is that?
Palm Sunday.
Yeah, there you go. Micah. And when Jesus came into Jerusalem riding the donkey or the pole, what do we call that?
The triumphal entry.
Triumphal entry, that's right. Let's bow our heads for prayer before we go further. Dear Father, we ask your blessing on us, and yeah, we want to be like the owners of this donkey that understood completely when the Lord had need of them. Dear Father, help us to. Our only desire to be to further your kingdom and to be about your business. The business of this great preparation for eternity and being forever at Jesus' feet and praising your great name, dear God. I ask your blessing on all of us today. We praise you for our mothers, the wives and mothers among us. Just thank you so much for all they do for us. And Lord, we just ask for you bless Brother David with inspiration and strength and boldness this morning in the sermon. And thank you for Sister Connie being here with us. Pray for her mother. Pray for those who are sick and afflicted. Pray for neighbor Dean White. Keep healing him. His concussion thing he had. Pray for the brethren today. In Jesus' name, amen. So continuing, Verse 3, if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest! When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, Who is this? And the crowds were saying, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they became indignant and said to him, Do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus said to them, Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself? And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany and spent the night there. Okay. Someone want to tell me what psalm Jesus was quoting from when he asked them if they had ever read out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies you have prepared praise for yourself. Remember which psalm that is? Jesus knew the scriptures and he quoted. He asked them, I mean, and those scribes, those chief priests and scribes, do you think they knew the Bible? Chief priests and the scribes, what did a scribe do? He would write down the scriptures, copy the scriptures all the time. Do you think they knew the scriptures?
Yeah.
But is it enough to just know them? No. What do you need to do, Elijah, besides just knowing the scriptures? What do you need to do with them? Write them. Is that what you said? Yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But even more than that yet, if Jesus tells us something to do, should we just memorize what he says?
No. Or
what should we do?
You should do it.
Yeah, and do it. Just do it. These scribes, they had it in their heads, but it wasn't in their hearts to be able to turn it into action, turn it into obedience. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know God. Even though they knew everything he said, and they could quote it, memorize it. And, someone remember the psalm? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Psalm 8, he was quoting from. Who has set your glory above the heavens, and he said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. You have ordained strength, says the King James, because of your enemies. And it goes on to say, the psalmist went on to say, that you might put to silence or still the enemy and the avenger. And remember what Jesus said? Does someone want to tell me what Jesus said in another gospel? That if these children would stop screaming and praising me, what would happen?
The stones would cry.
Yeah, the stones would cry out. Oh, don't you think that made them angry? I can imagine. I mean, not knowing the Lord, not caring about Him, hating Jesus. Then Jesus would say the stones would start hollering if the children would stop. And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany and spent the night there. Verse 18, now in the morning when he was returning to the city, he became hungry. Seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, no longer shall there ever be any fruit from you. And at once the fig tree withered. Seeing this, the disciples were amazed and asked, how did the fig tree wither all at once? And Jesus answered and said to them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Why did he do this to the fig tree? The fig tree was had only leaves on it. Do you think it has something to do maybe with what we just read about these scribes and chief priests? They were like the fig tree that had all leaves and no
fruit.
No fruit. Like they say around here, all hat and no cattle. You can wear the biggest and nicest cowboy hat and yet not know a thing about cows. That's what the chief priests and the scribes were like. It was being a hypocrite. They could quote God's words and never bore fruit in their lives. So it's just like a big fig tree plumb full of green leaves. But Jesus didn't want to eat leaves. He doesn't want leaves. He wants fruit. And so for an example, he showed his disciples. Just watch. This is what I think of a person like that. This is what I think of a tree like that. I see, you might see beautiful leaves there, but look at it. Whew, withered. It immediately withered up. Had no fruit. So the way God sees all leaves and no fruit is just a bare, withered tree like in the wintertime. Even though we might see all kinds of wonderful leaves on it. See what I mean? About having fruit when we really be like the children that praise Him. Even though the adults are saying, but look what he does wrong. He had just gotten mad and ran in and what did he do? What did he do in the temple?
Overturned
the money tables. Drove them out of there. Said you may turn it into a robber's den. But what I like so much is, you know that Jesus was not doing it out of a fit of rage that men, when men get angry, a lot of times other men get angry. It was a true anger that because he loved God and he would stand for his Father's house. And it was a right kind of anger because immediately he started to what? Verse 14. What did he do? Do you think angry people start at the same time? People that are just angry because they're mad, selfishly mad. Do you think they help the sick right at the same time? Jesus was immediately healing the blind and the lame. Because he was good and his anger was right. And it was the good kind of anger. Seeing this, yeah, the disciples were amazed. They were amazed. How did the fig tree wither all at once? That's going down to 23. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? Jesus said to them, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. I'm going to ask you a question first. Verse 25, the baptism of John was from what source? From heaven or from men? And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, well, then he's going to say to us, then why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the people, for they all regard John as a prophet. And answering Jesus, they said, we do not know. He also said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Did you ever see someone playing checkers, and at the end of the game, when they all of a sudden realize, it's no use. If I move over here, he'll jump me, and I'll lose the game. If I do this over here, he'll do it too. He'll get me there. So they just stand up and walk away. Don't even finish the game because they give up right away. Well, these people were talking about the Lord that way. Oh, if I say this, he might say that. If I say that, he might say. The Lord, the things of God aren't like that. We don't need to. If we're true in our hearts, we don't need to treat it like a checkers game. They should have been glad to be wrong if they'd say the wrong thing. Well, he'll tell me the right thing then. We have to be willing to be corrected. Well, how about Elijah and Clayton, come up with something, a time in the scriptures or in a story you've read about someone who got angry, but it was a good kind of anger. Maybe it was a preacher. Maybe it was a good person that got angry because something wrong was being done. They got the good kind of anger and they wanted to set it straight that things should be done differently than that. And then you older ones come up with an example of children who praise the Lord or someone simple that or maybe had a mind like a child from an unlikely source. God was praised. You see how I did that? I told the little ones here to tell about someone who got mad. But you big ones have to be able to find stories about children who praised the Lord, and the Lord got glory out of that, whether it's in scripture or a story you have for us. Tell us about it, anyway. All right. Well, you have your assignment. We don't have anyone on Skype this morning, so go ahead and speak up.
For last week, we were supposed to tell someone who led as a servant. And Peter and John preached in the temple, or not in the temple, but in a city, preached to thousands of people. After Jesus had gone back up to heaven. And they preached and got thousands of people to believe. But they kept on getting put into prison every night. But one night, God just let them go.
Samuel became a great...
Joseph
became a great leader under Pharaoh, and he was a servant to many.
Jesus led by example. He really did. He was kind to the poor, like he preached that we should be, and healed the blind and the sick. And then he allowed himself to be persecuted, like he said that we should allow ourselves. And he practiced what he taught, and that's the blessing that. And then there was, well, yeah, he just he helped the poor and just did what he taught, so.
Gideon, when the Israelites were in captivity, helped them, gave them courage and helped them fight their captors, and he led them by showing them how to trust in the Lord.
I thought about King David when he became king. He found Saul's grandson and brought him to his own house and served him when he could have just went and killed all of Saul's family, but he brought him in and served him and clothed him.
Daniel was in a really high position and he had a lot of power, and he could have taken advantage of that. But he was a good man, and he didn't necessarily want all that glory, and he was a good man, but a lot of people were jealous of him.
Moses led, but he led as a servant. He could have probably been kind of like a king, took a lot of riches and got the people to give him stuff, but he led the people just as a servant, and when they complained about water, he asked God about water and hit the rock and separated the Red Sea so that they could come through, and he always served the people humbly.
I thought about Gideon. He was out doing what he needed to be doing, threshing wheat, and then when God called him, he still was a servant and just did what God told him, even though God told him to make his army smaller. And that probably didn't seem logical, but he did it.
Judas Maccabeus was a leader that led by example. He would just showed courage and to help his army, and like a lot of the other leaders also in the book of Maccabees, they just show real courage when it looked pretty bleak, and just led that way.
I thought about Noah when God told him to build the ark. He was a good leader because no one else was listening. He just told the people what was going on and then started doing what God wanted him to do.
I thought about Saul when, after Samuel anointed him as king, he was out plowing in his father's field, and the people were scared because they had enemies coming to attack him, kill him, and destroy him all. And Saul had courage and saw what needed to be done and got his army and destroyed him.
The Apostle Paul was like a father in the faith to Timothy and led him by example.
I had Stephen. He was a follower of Christ, and he just served his life to God and just took everything. Just was an example after Jesus. Just didn't fight anything, just preached after Jesus.
John, book of John, chapter 13. Supper being ended. I'm going to skip ahead. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. And so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord. You say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent him greater, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." And I like this last verse here, verse 17 of John chapter 13. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. That's kind of a neat verse, because it's almost like he's saying, if you know these things, this example that I've shown you, then blessed are you if you do them. Just go and do it. And I thought that was pretty neat.